welcome to Untold, the podcast that goes behind the scenes interviewing founders and business leaders about their untold journeys. We go further than botched up deliveries. It's tough out there, and we want to tell the hardships that go with it and the effects this can have on guests' mental health. Key insights and tangible takeaways to help you, our listeners, continue on your journey. I'm Harry Turpin, founder of The Savourists, and I'm also your host. Let's do it. As always, keep jiggling. Welcome to Untold, the podcast where we go behind the scenes to uncover the stories that you won't normally hear about running, starting, founding, leading businesses. I've got a very exciting guest on today, someone I've worked with for the last few years now, who's helped sort of get Savourists off the ground from the very early doors. Faraz from formerly Clark and My Brothers, now Founders Makers. We'll come on to that story in a bit. But mate, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm interested to hear your podcast voice, which is very different to your normal voice.
I know.
But I love it. Thank you for inviting me. It's been wicked to be here.
Oh, thanks, man.
Surrounded by our beautiful work together.
I know.
Frankly,
yes.
I'm like, yes. Yeah. I'm like, get some sizzling BBQ crunches.
Love it.
I'm like, where are the big pouches at?
It is funny.
Doing plugs for you now.
Yeah. it's a funny one, man. Whenever I hit record, I go back to that kind of like, I studied musical theatre in the early days. And whenever I hit record, I go back to that kind of like, okay, we're on. Jazz hands.
Let's go. Yeah, so me in pictures. Yeah. I get it.
But amazing. So we are sat here. It's January. We're 2023. Fucking hell, where's that all gone?
I feel old.
I know, mate, me too.
I feel old. You know, the other day, I looked around, the other day, yesterday, and I was the oldest person in my office. And that's a weird experience for someone who still feels like they're incredibly young.
In mind and heart and body. I think it's like that, no matter how old you are. I remember having a conversation with my dad, and he was like, I still feel like I'm in my 20s.
Right.
And he's now like, mid-60s, right? It's crazy.
But, like, you know, I like that.
Yeah, same. It's all about mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
2023, here we go.
Yeah. I saw a video the other day on some disgusting social media platform that was like, I've had my five-day free trial to 2023 and I'd like my money back, please. Made me laugh. Anyway, look, let's give the listeners a bit of colour to you. I'd love to kind of just explore you and your career so far. Like, bring us up to date, kind of when you started working and now where you are in a few words.
I will give you a really quick story, right?
Perfect.
So I came to the UK when I was 7 years old. Was very lucky in the sense that I got a bursary to St. Paul's, where I picked up this accent. Didn't get into Oxford, went and dossed around in Bristol for a few years, had a great time.
Amazing.
And actually failed my economics degree in my first year and the retake, which meant that I had to do one unit throughout the second year of uni. And, you know, one unit is like 2 months worth of work, right?
Yeah.
So I had a lot of spare time on my hands.
That must have been quite fun, actually.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I'd always had a keen interest in like advertising, branding, communications. And it was where I just sort of started teaching myself, picking up design skills, comm skills, going around to different businesses in Bristol and going, you know, do you want a poster made? Do you want this made? And that was when it all started sort of kicking off for me and sort of my understanding of creativity and comms and the impact it can have. A couple of years later, found myself at the end of uni, finally, with a degree in hand. Actually, not a degree in hand, with a rather odd plastic tube in hand for the photos.
Yeah.
I actually get the degree.
Yeah, so straight to it.
It's very odd. And went to proper corn, as it was back then. Now proper. Worked in the brand and marketing side of things there.
Amazing.
Really sort of learned how to build an amazing working culture there. Cassandra and Ryan did such an incredible job, and Hal doing such an incredible job in building a brilliant brand that puts creativity at the heart of everything that it does.
Yeah.
Puts creative impact at the heart of everything that it does. And really sort of learned a lot there. Took those learnings and with my sort of co-founders, Cass and Nick, launched the Clark and Wild Brothers. Right. Now, how did we all meet at Bristol? Cass and I lived together. Figured that we actually like spending time together.
Yeah.
Wrote a few comedy pieces together. Never actually ended up performing them, but clearly had like a good working creative relationship. And then we ended up living together in London as well, whilst we all had our first jobs. Nick lived underneath us. And, you know, Cass was working in journalism. Nick was a freelance videographer for production houses. And on weekends, you know, whilst I was working at Proper Corn and whilst they were doing their jobs, we would go around Clerkenwell, where we lived, and offer independent businesses one-off videos, one-off campaigns. We'd make it on the weekend, hand it back to them, go off and do our normal jobs. One of those brands, Aircharge, was like, do you guys want to pitch for our international account after we did one video for them? We were like, yeah, absolutely, we'll pitch for your international account. Having absolutely no idea what that means. You know, did the script, did a pitch. They loved it. They were like, it's brilliant, let's sort of crack on. Next thing we know, we're having to launch the Clark and Wild Brothers Limited as a business. And I guess that project gave us the confidence and to some extent the funds to sort of go, right, we can do this.
Yeah, that's class.
Really naively.
Yeah.
None of us had worked in an agency before.
That's what you need
before,
though, right?
Right?
Yeah.
But like none of us had worked in an agency before. If I was doing it again, I would go, right, you should probably go and do an agency stint for a couple of years for us before you go and try to launch an agency. And we'd worked with agencies, but we didn't know the internal processes.
Yeah.
And that naivety right at the beginning of launching the business meant that we didn't really have set processes. So the processes that we built were geared towards the people that we were working with.
Yeah.
So we became a specialist challenger agency, right? Because of the processes, people that we were attracted to us, because of the fact that actually we could work quicker, we could move things further and faster than your conventional agencies.
Yeah.
And I guess that's sort of how it all came about.
Amazing.
The Clark and Wild Brothers. Amazing. It was the three of us. It was, you know, the first 6 months, absolutely no idea what we were doing, didn't pay ourselves anything, you know, it was tough.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of meetings, didn't have an office. Our first meetings were sort of, no, we'll come to you.
Yeah.
And our first office was in the back of someone else's office. It was their unused meeting room.
Yeah.
And when people would come in, you know, we would walk them through their office.
Amazing.
Pretending that, you know, some of those people worked for us. And like we'd get our mate, Charlie, to come down occasionally, a brilliant actor, brilliant RADA trained actor, for like big pictures. We'd get him to come and interrupt the pitch occasionally and sort of flag another thing that was happening.
That's
or
so good.
Another emergency or had to sort of grab up. It was, you know, optics is everything, right?
Yeah.
And you got to fake it till you make it.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, the Saatchis did it back in the day.
Yeah.
And we were like, look, if they did it.
Oh, mate, love it. I absolutely love it. Sorry, I didn't know that story. I think it's great. And I guess as well, when that first pitch that you guys won from that video, almost certainly the actual content that you created was the most creative that they've seen because you weren't already part of an agency, right? So you're like a fresh hat on it.
I don't know. Yes and no. I think it's like creatives at other agencies will always be creative.
Yeah.
And other people could have come up with that idea.
Yeah.
At the end of it. I don't think ideas are beholden to certain individuals who have God gifts to, you know, deliver. Oh, wow, that line.
I don't
think that's how creativity works.
No.
I think everyone is creative.
Yeah,
right? I think absolutely everyone in the world is creative or has creativity inherently built into them. It comes about in different ways.
Yeah.
Right, you might be really creative in the way you speak to people.
Yeah.
You might be creative in the way that you negotiate. You might be creative in the way you sell. You might be creative in the conventional creative sense.
Yeah.
There are so many ways that creativity interprets itself.
I completely agree.
But I think what won them over, I guess, was maybe in that instance the idea, and maybe our idea was better than others.
Yeah.
But I think it's sort of personality as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they'd worked with us and they'd liked us and then they liked the idea. They didn't know that, you know, we weren't really a thing at that point.
Yeah.
but they just sort of believed in us.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I think that belief is so important in any creative relationship.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
It's
yeah,
like between going on to like jumping ahead, I guess, but like, you know, one of the most important things between a client and an agency, what we now call just partnerships between two different organizations, is belief in each other.
Yeah,
I'm going to believe that you are here and you have the best possible product and you have an idea of what you're about to do and what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
And you're here because you believe that I'm going to do my best possible job to bring this to life through compelling branding or communications.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just that trust and that belief.
That's exactly, I mean, mate, nail on the head, and it leads us really nicely into kind of the next sort of phase. But I think that that moment when you go to an agency and you go like, wow, yeah, I've got this idea. And like, it's the most exciting part of MPD, I think, because it's when you go, you've got the product, you can see it as a founder. You can, or a managing team, or whoever it is that's bringing the MPD to an MPD manager, you can see the. But I think certainly for a smaller business, because you haven't got the data that's backing it up, and you're the one that's kind of like, "Fuck yeah, I could really see a gap here," but like, there might be millions of other people that can't because there's no data that's proving that that's what you're doing. And then you like, when you have that first meeting with the agency, you're like, "Oh, this is now starting to come to life," and it's super exciting. How, I guess where I'm going in a really waffly way here is you've been in that situation where you've gone, I don't really know what I'm doing, and you're pitching to them. Now when you have founders or brands coming to you to create new brands or range extensions or hierarchy of messaging, and the founders or the leaders or the businesses that are coming to you don't necessarily really know what they're doing, but they know that they need to get to that stage. Talk us through like the process of like what makes your job easier, and how do founders and brands get the best out of the agencies that they're working with, be that in design, be that in comms, be that in kind of wider advertising, but just from a brief, I guess, perspective, what does that sort of look like?
I think you know, just picking up on your first thing, which is you love going into agencies. It's something that we reinforce within the team the whole time, which is the meetings with us will, without sort of blowing our own trumpets or trying to be egotistical about it, will probably be the most exciting ones for the people in that day.
Yeah.
What we do is still ultimately the most fun you can have with other people's money.
Yeah.
Of course, it has sort of inherent commercial value built into it.
Yeah.
But it is ultimately thinking about ideas.
Yeah.
And thinking about how you bring that idea to life.
Yeah.
And as you say, sort of tying together, you know, a few different grey zones that don't really exist, and then materializing that into something that does.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
You know, we all enjoy coming in because of that.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you look forward to it, because that's what we want you to feel, because we're looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those first meetings are always the most interesting, because we're coming at it from where a consumer or a person who's going to be using your product or service is coming at it too, which is no awareness.
Yeah.
Right? And those first instances of the way that a founder speaks to us about the brand and or the product and what they want to achieve out of it really sort of lay the land. Now, what do we look for in those initial stages? First and foremost, what are your timelines? What are your budgets? Yeah. What are your key deliverables? Really, really difficult when people come to us and go, we don't have a budget in mind for this.
Yeah,
of course you have a budget in mind for this. You know, fine, we're going to come back and go, it's going to cost £1 million.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Actually, you do have a budget in mind for this.
Yeah.
Please just tell us.
Yeah.
You know, because it makes our lives so much easier. It allows us to go, right, how much resource can we dictate?
Yeah.
Can we do the job you want us to do, considering your deliverables,
right,
with what you have? Okay, if there's, of course, we'll always negotiate, because, you know, we're talking together because we want to work together.
Yeah.
But just let us know up front and we can work together on what works for both parties, right?
Yeah.
What's commercially viable for you? What's commercially viable for us?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That aside, what we then want to know is, right, the brand. talk to us through the brand. What are its values? Why have you launched it? You know, where was the opportunity in your mind? Okay, talk to us through the products. Now, how does this product filter back up to the brand? Why does this exist? What are the rational benefits of wanting to sort of pick it up? What are the emotional benefits of wanting to pick it up? Okay, let's talk through conventional USPs.
Yeah.
Right. What are the things that, you know, are the market trends that we know have to sort of, you know, packaging, it's a classic one, it occasionally changes, you know, there are we use sort of market data to dictate, right, what hierarchy of comms should we bring to, like, USPs, right?
Yeah.
With app development sort of slightly different when it comes to sort of unique selling points or sort of brands that exist in the tech sphere, slightly different.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's sort of what we're looking for as brand, the product, the emotional, the rational, the USPs that need to be sort of as part of it.
Yeah.
And then a understanding that the next sort of, you know, the next part of it for us is a bit of a grey zone.
Yeah.
And that we might not sort of nail it on the head sort of first time round.
Yeah.
That understanding allows us to go away and explore with that information.
Yeah.
Right. And go and think about it in maybe in ways that the founder may not have. Now, our job, I always think, is to, in those first sort of creative explorations, when we go back to people, is provide one solution that we know that they're looking for.
Yeah.
Which is the best solution that they're already looking for.
Yeah.
And two other options that is not what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And push them in slightly sort of different ways that they didn't think they were going to be pushed.
Yeah.
Through what we were thinking or through our own thoughts or through our own exploration.
Yeah.
I think that's our job, right?
Yeah.
Which is, look, this is what you're looking for and this does the job.
Yeah.
And it's a really good way of doing the job.
Yeah.
But look at these, right? And we had a similar process, right? With Crunchets where again, plug. With Crunchets, now available on EasyJet. And you know, it's. I think, you know, that's part of our job, which is to go, right, we understand what you want, and we can deliver that, and we will deliver that, and we'll put that as an option in front of you. But it's our job to go, right, this is what you want, and then some.
Yeah.
Right. We understand what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Now looking at the market, looking at your competitors, looking at the category as a whole, right? And then looking outside of the category for influences on, you know, cultural influences, influences that we may not have sort of thought of, you know. Our design director sort of picked up the type phrase through a walk in the cemetery.
Yeah.
You know, that
it's crazy.
Is not something that, you know, would be in a brief.
No. Yeah. No,
right.
And if you told me that initially before seeing it, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like,
No.
But afterwards, you get it, right? Because you're like, well, it works.
Yeah, and it works. And, you know, it's, but that's what I think, you know, is what, why people go and work with sort of partners like ourselves, which is an understanding of what we need to do. And then what we bring to the table is the creative impact.
Yeah.
And a slightly different way of looking at a, you know, age-old problems.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, this isn't new. You know, we're not the first people to, like, launch a new product or brand.
Yeah.
You know, it's been going on for ages. It's just how do you keep on reinterpreting that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things there for me to pick up on is the emotion in it as well, because I think it's very easy to get bogged down. What you guys are great at, I think, is pulling out the emotional in that. So pulling out the, like, and it doesn't matter, I guess, whether you're a tech brand, whether you're a food brand, whether you're a footwear brand. Every purchase is an emotional purchase. Like, it doesn't matter what anyone says. Like, it is an emotional purchase because you're getting to a point where you're like, you're hungry or you're sad or you're happy or there's a feeling, there's an emotion in every single thing that you're doing. And actually pulling that out over your kind of hierarchy, I think what a lot of brands get bogged down in, particularly in the health sphere, what we did in our previous range, is you kind of go like, well, I want to say everything. I want to say it's high fiber, low calorie, high protein, low sugar, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And then before you know it, you've lost all the emotion because all it is just fucking copy on a pack. Yeah. Like,
it's a back of pack on the front of pack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's such a hard one. And we've definitely gone through that journey of quite a harsh learning curve when you're like, well, hold on a second, like, if you're putting everything on the front of pack, that's not brand. That's not, you're not, you might as well do what RX Bar did. Again, I'm going to completely like, because RX Bar is a huge, great brand, but like, just list out all the ingredients on the front of pack. Yeah, and like, but then have a brand like they did, which was, they go to a trade show and their trade stand was like, this is a trade show stand.
Yeah.
Like, there's no frills. Yeah. It's just, that is what they are
but
as
that
a brand.
But that is the brand, right?
Exactly.
And like, that's an amazing, like, and you know, I think, going back to what we're looking for as well, is you can't have that and that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, a lot of the time we show options and people go, oh, I love a bit of that and I really like some of that. Can you mix those two together?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I've done that for you guys before.
You probably have. You probably also said not really. Because it's sort of, you have to, you know, RX Bar did it so well because they lean into the extreme interpretation of it.
Yeah.
I think where a lot of people go wrong is where they try to muddle too many things.
Yeah.
Right? They want it to be this and they want it to be that. Or can it be functional and can it be,
you know, this at the same time? Yeah.
It can. It can be those things, sure.
Yeah.
But it won't be its strongest interpretation if it is.
Definitely. Yeah, I completely agree. And I also think you've got to get to the point where you have the brand in market to then make those decisions about the functionality.
Mm.
I think actually what we've learned, we're learning and trying to continue to evolve, is like, actually those call outs are the ones where you're in market and you learn what people want to see. But that emotion and that brand is what needs to come first and foremost, right? And
that's, why do we get attracted to things?
Yeah.
You know, as normal, like, you know, I always ask the question, just pretend we're not doing this process on the branding or the comms or the creative, the advertising, whatever it is. Why do we make, just go back to why you are wearing the things that you are wearing, why you purchase the things that you do, why you behave in certain ways, why you go to certain restaurants, why you fly on certain flights.
Yeah.
All of those things are for brand reasons.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. I mean, I look at like Pizza Express is a classic example. Mm. You look at so many like pizza restaurants that have come and go recently.
Mm.
And I'm like, I now, like, Pizza Express, you just get, right? If I go into Pizza Express now, I still order the same thing that I did when I was like 10 years old. 100%.
Right.
And it's that, isn't it? It's kind of nostalgic.
And like Pizza Express, oh, I'm so glad you talked about Pizza Express. There's a new one that's opened up in Hackney, just by Hackney Picture Health. This isn't applied for Pizza Express. They don't pay me, but if they want to pay me,
you'd be open to this work.
I'll be happy to do some work for pizza. Don't tell my other co-founders that I said that. Love pizza. Yard sale's the best though.
Yeah.
Have to say that. Now, if they do want to pay me,
I
will do that for that. What's it called? I think brand is so important because it's, and going back to emotion, what you were talking about, you know, whether it's in the packaging, whether it's in the branding, whether it's in the comms, emotion is how we remember things as humans.
Yeah.
You know, you would have known it at school and in lectures. The teachers and the lecturers who held your attention and got the ideas and got the lesson plans across were the ones who could tell stories.
Yeah.
Now, those stories could make you feel.
Yeah,
and those feelings are the things that stick with you, and those emotions are the things that stick with you, and that's why it's so important to pull out the emotions.
Yeah,
and to ensure that the brand speaks to the feelings, and we put so much emphasis on the brand essence.
Yeah,
right. How do we want people to feel when they come in contact with this brand?
Yeah,
and we take a lot of time to come up with sort of three. What is ultimately a sentence that tends to be with three words, but it takes a lot of time to get there, to really interrogate, actually, that is the feeling we want people to have. Let's take that out.
Yeah.
And let's then start seeing, right, how does that come across in copy? How does that come across in visuals? How does that come across in every single touch point of the brand?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that's why it's like, that's why we do put so much emphasis on that.
It's super good to hear, man, because I think, well, certainly for me anyway, the very early doors, when you're trying to bring something to a market or you're trying to set up a new brand and you're very excited and you're like, wow, this is great. Trusting that process is really difficult. Like, I think I've got better at it. I hope I've got better at it.
Yeah.
But initially you want to almost be in the room helping and being involved and to a point where and my dad was exactly the same. And he spoke about it in a way where he was like, he used to work with an advertising agency when he was working. And when he retired, they gave him his own branded set of pencils, colouring pencils that had Dick Turpin on them, because he was always trying to get involved in, and he wasn't part of the agency, but he was always trying to come up with ideas and push stuff forward. And actually he describes it in a really funny way, but I think as a founder, as someone that's trying to bring that product forward, it's really difficult to be in an hour, okay guys, speak to you in 2 weeks, and you're kind of sat there almost is it coming? What's happening? Don't worry, just WhatsApp me if you need anything. You then get to a point where okay, right, let's just trust this fucking process.
Yeah.
And you know that it's going to come, but at the beginning it's really difficult.
Yeah.
Talk me through, because I'm sure that we've kind of touched on it, but I'm sure listeners would find this really interesting.
Yeah.
Once we talk about that first meeting and that brief and kind of what looks good,
yeah.
Once the brand then leaves, talk us through the kind of creative process that gets to that point, the kind of the following few weeks.
The creative process, gosh. That's a tough one. Let me just take you back onto just what you were saying before, which is, I think it's always in the agencies, good agencies and good creative partners will let you know how long things will take,
yeah.
What will happen during that process.
Yeah.
When we will need your input again.
Yeah.
And if you would have worked with us, if we don't quite understand something, we'll get in touch.
Yeah, of course.
We need this, or can you tell us a little bit more about this?
What the fuck is the jiggle?
Harry, why the hell do you want to put jiggle on the back of the pack? What is it? Can you just talk us through that? Let me just give you a quick ring.
Right? Yeah.
And that again goes back to an understanding and whatnot between each other. But what happens after the client leaves the room, after that first initial meeting, is so interesting, because it's really no wrong answers at that moment.
Yeah.
In that conversation that you have. And that's why that initial deep dive, we have, not only the creative directors, but you have the design director, you have the designers who are going to be working on it, you have the creative there.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the team that will be really working on this from the off, hearing it from the horse's mouth, not calling your horse. But
that's what it is.
And that conversation around, okay, what do we think? Are first thoughts that come to people? Because it's sometimes those first thoughts they're never going to be the final thought.
No, but key.
But they're key.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I can imagine it's fascinating, actually, because hearing the people that just got it and hearing the people that are
Yeah.
It must be really interesting.
Yeah, but it's super interesting, because the people who got it aren't necessarily right in terms of what they're saying to what it should be.
Yeah.
Because the people who haven't are kind of your consumers.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating hearing them.
Yeah.
And actually going, okay, what is it about it? Because it actually needs to speak to them a lot more in a way. Yeah,
absolutely. Right?
And what tends to happen in the creative process, I can talk you through our process.
As a
partner, I can talk you through the branding process. I don't think that's what we're discussing.
No, right.
I think what happens really though is, in that moment, you start naturally seeing conceptual thoughts being formed. It's when we were sitting down together, for example, something that and what you say, we'll take specific quotes from our meeting. And I really remember distinctly us talking about the pub.
Yeah.
And talking about the idea of, this product sitting in the pub naturally.
Yeah.
And someone, no matter who they were, whether it's you, me, Tilly, your brand managers going, give me a couple of give me a bite of that. Happy to have that, right?
Yeah.
That was really circled down by a number of people. Okay, right. What does that mean? How does that mean we need to approach it? Why is that so important? What does the conceptual thinking around that start looking like?
Yeah.
What does that start feeling like? And it's a very vague conversation, yeah. You know, and it's a, what we aim to do beyond that conversation is go, right, okay, there are a few thoughts now floating around. One or two, maybe three thoughts around concepts.
Yeah.
That's what they are. They have no visuals to them. They're just verbal concepts.
Yeah.
And, you know, the concept might have a nod to anything in a way at that point.
Yeah.
Right. The teams go away. They start exploring by themselves initially. Right, because we want to keep the thinking a little bit contained as people start developing it. We don't want too much crossover at this stage. Right, we come back together in a couple of days. This is what's happening, by the way, when you know, you're not hearing anything from us. This is sort of like, you know, right, we go away, we come back together. Okay, let's discuss them in person a little bit more. What are the strengths of that? What are the frailties? Okay, now we've got a starting point. Push the concepts to the extremes.
Yeah.
Because we can always rein it back.
Yeah.
And this is what we always say to people, which is we can always remove things, sort of scale back the extremity of an execution in a way.
Yeah.
It's really hard to dial it up once you've landed somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, and you know, you get this in a lot of brand refreshers where people come to us and go, we've done the branding a year ago, really blah, 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 but there's a few things missing from it.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're just looking for a couple of icons here, iconography a little bit. We're looking for like a little tweak of the logo. And actually, could you just like, we've had a thought around a colour that we just want to swap.
Doesn't work.
Hey, guys.
This is,
we need to interrogate this properly.
You know,
clearly like, you know, you don't buy a Ford and take it to a Ferrari showroom and go, can you put on some Ferrari tops?
Right?
I'm not saying we're the Ferrari, but it's
Ford. No.
Ford and Ferrari.
It goes back to that brand, doesn't it? It's like, by just putting a bit of colour on it or changing the logo, that's not a brand. That's just a colour and a logo.
Yeah, it's your corporate identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's not forget what a brand is, which is everything else that comes around.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we, like, I'm part of a couple of WhatsApp groups with guys who are, like, I mean, it spans from like people who are sort of in brands that are in retail, but also the brands that are just kind of starting out on this journey and they're sort of starting out. And they, again, are sort of mocking up some of the design work themselves. And it's like, I can't say how important it is to work with someone. It doesn't need to be like the biggest budget in the world, but I can't say how important it is to work with someone that knows what they're doing from a brand perspective, because as a founder, you then also get to understand the brand throughout that process and what brand you want, because getting it from your head. I remember coming out sometimes from conversations we've had where I've just sort of had the opportunity to speak and you've gone, oh, fuck, I really do think that. Like, I've never actually thought it, but it just kind of comes out your mouth because you go through that process of like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, this is what I want it to be and this is how I want it to become.
There's an amazing curve that speaks to, I think, what every creative partnership should be. So from your side to our side. At the beginning, we listen.
Yeah.
That is our job. We listen, we take everything on board, we need to hear from you, and it's a sort of therapy for you in a way.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we get you to come in and talk 100%. Us through all the various things and, you know, we talk through various elements, but our job is to listen first and foremost.
Yeah.
As we get further and further down the process, you then want the answer.
Yeah.
And it's our job to deliver the answer.
Yeah.
Right? So that shift becomes apparent as you get towards the end of the stages where we go into sort of the packaging.
Yeah.
We're speaking to printers and we're executing the finders. It's like, okay, I just want them to You don't want to be speaking at that point.
No.
Right?
And it's like 100%. And I think it's that is the most amazing process, and it must be really difficult from the off, because you got certainly if I take myself as an example, like I'm buzzing for that meeting. And I think anyone that's setting up a new brand, if they're not buzzing to have a agency meeting about packaging, like, don't fucking do it. Because you have to be, because it's your baby, it's your life, it's your business, it's your everything that you're putting into it has to come out. And if you're going to sit there and be like, oh, I can't really bother to do this, then like, what's the point of doing it? But then it must be really difficult for you to like, so, okay, I'm not saying that like, like, I know I get a little bit overexcited, so it must be quite difficult for you to be like, well, hold on a second, what on earth did he just say? There's like 50 million different things in like one sentence.
Yeah, and, but like, you get that. And you know, I think just that's on that point. I've never met a founder who's dispassionate.
Yeah.
Because then otherwise they wouldn't be a founder. Well,
exactly. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
ultimately
yeah, yeah.
It's that. Yeah. And like, everyone I've met has always been super pumped about that meeting and wants to tell us absolutely everything at about 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you become a really good listener.
Yeah.
After a few of those years of doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's our job to sift through the mud in a way.
Yeah.
And really find the golden nuggets.
Yeah.
And it'll be a few things that are said. And actually, when people say more, it's usually best.
Yeah.
Because it sort of allows us to really pick up on certain things.
Yeah.
It's actually incredibly hard when they're not so forthcoming.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, we have a range of questions that we can just turn to afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, bear in mind, whilst you're speaking, we're sort of leading the conversation ever so slightly on particular things that we definitely need answered from our side.
Yeah.
So there is a sort of briefing template that, you know, we have that we fill out during these meetings, but we much prefer it to be a conversation.
Yeah.
And to for it to feel natural and for you to use the natural human language and words and not go, okay, question, here's my prepared answer as to why this is the best product and these are the USPs and these are the benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It
makes it a slightly different way of speaking to each other.
100%. I think, it's fascinating and it's great as that process evolves. And I think there's, for listeners as well who have never worked or have never gone through that stage, I think what really blew my mind from the beginning was actually working where you go from concept to brand to then working with printers. And that, I know that sounds ridiculous because you do it all the time and we've now done it, but for people that haven't done it, like that handholding process when you're sat there being like, oh my word, what on earth, like, what does flow wrap mean? What is the size of, like, how long? I remember when we first did Crunchits, we got a quote for our bags. And I was like, oh, that's so much better than I thought it was. Because I'd given them the measurements of the closed bag, but obviously they're charging me for the film when it's open. So, like, even, like, stupid things like that, where you're like, oh, my word, like, of course, like, but with bars, it was different because they it's done in a different way. And it's just like that whole learning process and having someone there that's like, okay, actually, we now have the cutter guide that we can fill and it all comes in and everything kind of works. And then suddenly you get the print proofs and you're like, oh, wow, okay, this is great. It's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have that handhold. So, yes, the creative process, but also the technical expertise in moving through that.
The execution.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a creative partner, we're very lucky to have, you know, we're not just your conventional creative house where you have your strategy and your creative and then you go and get your execution done elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, we have the design studio, which, you know, you've worked with. We've got the production studio.
Yeah.
Which you've also worked with.
Yeah.
And
it
was always our belief to, you create the best possible work by having it all in one place, all under one roof, because you have quality control.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have expertise that come with that as well.
Yeah.
So, I think it's the same. It's why people go to agencies. It's why people go to studios. It's why you go to a lawyer.
You don't just go
Google, like, you know, how do I come back to this, right? You go to a lawyer. You don't Google your ailments. You go to a doctor. You know, it's a similar service-based thing.
Yeah, 100%.
Doctors do far more fruitful work than we do, by the way. I cannot believe I've just sort of put us on the same tier.
It's not Batman Robin, though. Same
thing. Saving your life, creating a new brand.
I love it. No, but I mean, it's all horses for courses, right? Like we said earlier, it's all like in that moment, it's super exciting. It must also be really rewarding and exciting for you guys to start to see a brand come to life, but also then actually start being on shelf or start being on and kind of go, like, stand there in a store and be like, fucking hell, we did this. Hey, like, it's class.
I think seeing your work out in the real world your physical work is always still such a pull for people in this industry. It still is for me.
Yeah.
You know, I love seeing an ad that we've made out there. I love seeing a brand that we've made out there.
Yeah.
I get just as excited about, you know, we've been working with Little Moons Mochi for like 5.5 years now, I'd say.
Yeah, that's cool.
Every time I see a Little Moons packaging in shelf, I still get excited if it's a new if it's a new store.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's not looking its best, it's the same with you. If I see you guys around, if you're not looking your best on shelf, I'll go and fix it up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that pride that we have in the work that we put out, which is so important.
Hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Untold Podcast is brought to you by The Savourists. We're here to keep you jiggling at snack time. We have a range of mega flavour, loaded ingredient, real nutritious snacks. They taste absolutely banging. And we have a brand new range of crunchets, which are made from black beans, edamame beans, puffed rice, seasoned with a Thai chilli and a sizzling barbecue. Yes, I promise you, they are as delicious as they sound. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of the episode and check us out at savourists.com. Ta-da!
It comes back to that partnership, doesn't it? It comes back to that, like, really are part of the team. And I think one of the things that stuck with me in this last piece of work that we've done was actually, like, not even anything to do with the work. That was great, but was when we first start. When we first start. I don't mean it like that. You'll see what I mean when I finally stop waffling and come on to what I'm trying to say. I think the first meeting we had for Crunch's kickoffs, one of the first things you said was like, okay guys, what are we trying to do here? And that one word "we" was like, oh yeah, okay, right, we really are part of a team. Because you go, again, like from our journey, you kind of come through this and you go, right, we're starting to solidify a bit more partnerships, we're starting to become friends, I guess, in inside work, and you get to that point where you then go, okay, right. And then that "we" came out and I was like, you know what? Like, I'd always had that kind of, because you start the conversation with like, what's your budget? How much is it going to cost? You kind of always have that like us versus them thing to start with. And then when that "we" came out, I was like, it was such a small thing, but I was like, you know what? Okay, we're now all just in this together. We're in the trenches together. We're working together. And it's a really great,
Well, thing. We don't allow really "I" to be said in, by anyone in the agency.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of the things that we drilled into ourselves from the off as founders, that we then drilled into people as they joined, and we still drill into people if they slip up. There's no "I" in the work that we do.
Yeah.
Even if you are the sole designer on a project, there's still no "I" in that, because one, you've definitely worked with other people on it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're leading
the process that you just spoke about.
And there's also protection in the "we." There's protection in the "we," which is the agency in itself. When you're presenting an idea or you're presenting concept, you've got to think about, like, when you're presenting an idea or a concept, it's a real, internally for people, it's a real moment. And if the client doesn't like it, it can really sometimes be a real blowback.
Yeah.
And it can really put you down. And because you put your heart and soul into something.
Of course, yeah.
Right? And you've gone, oh, what do you think? And I've gone, oh, not quite right. And it's like, oh, God, that hurts.
Yeah.
You know, and it really does hurt when someone doesn't like the idea. So the "we" gives you protection.
Yeah.
It's not just one individual person's idea. It's not just someone's individual idea. Yeah, like the "we" gives you protection.
Yeah.
And the "we" also establishes, as you rightly say, we are a partnership.
Yeah.
You know, we're... For this to work, this needs to be a "we" because we want you, one, to come back, because we want this to be a success.
Yeah.
There's no point in it for us to do one piece of work for you, right?
Yeah.
But that "we" embraces a lot of things. It sort of allows the agency to protect individuals, but it also sets the tone with your partners, ultimately.
Yeah, 100%.
Because by that point, we are fully on board. Yeah. You know, we could be doing other things. The only thing we really sell is our time.
Yeah.
And we've decided together to spend our collective time to work on this particular thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a proper partnership.
I love it. I think it's really really refreshing, right? It's a nice way of thinking, and I think for a lot of people that listen to this as well, like, do take that, because I've been there where you go, well, fucking hell, this is a lot of money and I need the money to make sure that they do the work and is this going to be what we want? But actually, really take a step back and know that it's that whole process that Fares has just spoken about, and the more you give them, the more they can take, and the partnership. And if it doesn't work like that and you're constantly like that, it's just, it's never going to work, is it?
And look, tension is good.
Yeah.
Tension is good. We're big believers in creative tension.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, it's our jobs to interrogate and to push and see where we land.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, I think if you have work, yeah, it goes back to that trust thing.
Yeah.
Are you going to trust me to do it? I'm going to trust you to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trusting you on the product. Because it's our name as well.
Yeah.
That's going out with it, right? We're behind this.
Yeah.
In the same way that you guys are. We want it to be the best possible thing in the same way that you do.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's the best possible thing, then we'll get more business out of it too, right? But like sort of that the budget thing is an interesting one, because I always think brand is actually the most valuable piece of investment you make.
Yeah.
The brand.
100%.
When you think about it in the long run, right? Okay. Say you spend 50K,
yeah.
100K,
yeah.
20K. Say your business only exists for even 5 years. It probably won't. It'll keep on going. Right?
Yeah.
Beyond that. Let's just say, right? As an investment over those 5 years, are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you break it down in terms of what you're getting and the effect it has and the power it holds in terms of the comms and the assets that come out of it, and absolutely everything that's built around it.
Oh, 100%.
I'm shocked that sometimes it's so cheap
for
people.
Oh, I agree.
In a way.
I agree. And I think part of the only way that I can...
We're going to charge you more, Harry. That's
yeah, right. yeah, yeah. I was waiting for that. That's just a price increase conversation.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
It? But I completely get it. And actually, like, I think the hardest thing for... The only way that I can sort of relate to that is when it's at the very beginning of its infancy stage, you go, wow, fucking hell, 20 grand or 10 grand or 5 grand is a hell of a lot of money. Because we're not currently turning over X. But then when you get, but once you break down that barrier and you then get to that point, like that's where it exactly what you're saying is there, right? And it's this thing that floats around all the time. And I think someone sent it to me a while, like years ago on Facebook, and therefore it just pops up on memories. Not that I use Facebook at all, other than for kind of these memories. And it pops up every time, and it's like, what the client wants, and it's like a picture of the Mona Lisa, and then it's like what the client's budget is, and it's like a kid's drawing, and it's like the most amazing. Or the horse is another one where like the head is like this beautifully carved horse, and the back is just like
a twig.
It's
always the case, right? And that's why I think that initial conversation around budget is so important, because we need to know, right? We can't come back with things that take too long, cost too much, you know, ideas that don't actually fit within budgets are kind of worthless if you can't do them.
So
that's why it just needs to be a really frank conversation, because we're not trying to milk you
when we
ask that. We're not going to go, right, what's the budget? Right, that's extreme. Cool, let's go to it. We're just trying to grade the best possible work together. We're not car salesmen.
No, 100%. 100%. And I think it's I actually did a fascinating course on negotiation. It's for another time, but where basically, long story short, it was like one person was doing like rugs and the other person was doing coconut milk. And basically the whole negotiation was like, we've only got one set of coconuts. And you spend the whole time being like, I'm going to get those coconuts. I'm going to pay a little bit more for those coconuts. Whereas actually, if you just split the fucking coconut out, one gets the husk, one gets the milk, you can kind of have it for cheap. And that's a better process. But the only way you're going to get that is if you've got a relationship to discover how you can get to that point. Right. So rather than having like, I want to pay the cheapest and you want to pay the most, it actually goes back to that relationship and trust piece of like, well, actually, how do we just make this work?
Yeah, but like, you know, it's such a tough one, because in every single other walk of life, it's, you are trying to get the best deal, and you are trying to, you know, as a founder launching a brand, it is your prerogative to try to do things in a way that are commercially viable, right?
Yeah.
And we understand that. And that's why we always say, you grow, we grow.
Yeah.
You know, our job is to ensure that we're with you for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Where we bill you at the beginning, bill you at the end, that's going to grow as you grow as a business.
Yeah. 100%.
And you know, that's why as a partner we have a challenger rate card, we have a scale up brand rate card, yeah. and we have a major brand rate card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's an understanding which is, okay, once you hit certain parameters, we're work with you into move you increase. Because ultimately, we want you to be a household brand.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely, definitely.
You want you thinking, to be a household brand.
The thinking
brand.
Is different as well in that process, yeah. right? Amazing, man. Look, I am conscious of time, so I'd quite like to just move on to your... I'd love to do the story. We're going to get you back on, if possible, at some point, because we haven't covered off the sort of mental health side of things. But what I'd love to do now is to speak about Founders Makers and how that came about and the sort of Seabros evolution. Yeah. So how did that come?
You know, as the Clark and Well brothers, we've always worked with founders.
Yeah.
And we've always worked with the best challenger brand, best scale-up brand, because naturally that's what we were drawn to. We saw a gap and an opportunity. No one is working with these people in the way that they should be.
Yeah.
No one understands them. No one understands the mindset. Yeah. You know, it's about impact. It's about market share. It's about taking chunks out of the competition. It's about going further, faster than before.
Yeah.
And no one was quite getting that. So that's what we sort of always did. And we've always had people approach us interested in partnerships, interested in, you know, a bit of equity in the business, interested in whatever, but they've never been quite right.
Yeah.
And we got introduced to the Founders Forum group. You know, they are ultimately the home of European entrepreneurship and tech entrepreneurship specifically, and have an amazing sort of ethos, which is to support entrepreneurs at every stage of their journey.
Yeah.
And we had gone into conversations with them, and it was a value-based agreement. We understood why they were doing the things that they were doing. They were on the side of the next sort of generation of entrepreneurs, the next sort of innovative businesses coming through, the people who are willing to take risks, the people who are willing to approach things in a way that no one had approached them before. And they really inherently believed in the value that we also believed in.
Yeah.
And it was that value base. And they felt like the right partner. They have an amazing sort of ability to provide operational expertise to us as a business as well, as we scale. You know, ultimately, it's three creatives who launched this business. And, you know, you don't really get that in agency there. You tend to have someone, you know, who's like business, someone who's like, you know, operations, someone who's creative, and someone who's strategy. But, you know, so we needed a partner who understood, right, these guys are growing.
Yeah.
How can we ensure that they grow in the best way?
Yeah.
We were also looking for, you know, we're also looking globally now. And we want to ensure that we can sort of put our best foot forward in those markets.
Yeah.
And they, from their side, were looking for a partner who, you know, could work with the plethora of brands that come through their network or factory, Founders Factory, First Minute Capital, Founders Forum Group in itself. Amazing. And then also sort of the sub-businesses within the Founders Forum Group as well.
Yeah.
Now, it makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
And it was sort of the natural chemistry was incredible.
Amazing.
And, you know, they understood what we were trying to achieve. We understood what they were trying to achieve. And we rebranded as part of it to Founders Makers. And, you know, we now position ourselves as a creative partner to Europe's challengers, scale-ups, and major brands.
Yeah.
And it goes back to, and you know, that was a very sort of distinctive definition that we wanted to ensure really sort of stood out. You know, we don't want to be seen as an agency, we don't want to be seen as a production house, we don't want to be seen as a design studio, we don't want to be seen as those things, we want to be seen as your creative partners.
Yeah.
And I think they understand that, and they understood what that means.
Yeah.
And they're going to back us. To grow the business and grow the incredible brands that we work with. Because ultimately, we also have access to the incredible tech brands that are coming through.
Yeah.
And we're going to start bringing these tech brands and building them into our clients' marketing stacks.
Amazing.
And there's just going to be a beautiful crossover there.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so exciting.
It is incredibly exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and also, like, it just links really nicely where you're like, you started out doing videos on the weekend. And you're now talking about that. And I remember when you, like, you messaged, I think we were talking when you were going over to sort of finalise that deal, and you were going over to America, to over to New York to do it. Yeah. And I remember being like, fucking hell, these guys are going big time now, aren't they? Like, amazing. It's so nice. Exciting.
Yeah,
and amazing that you've had that kind of experience from starting off at Propercorn, where you're like, actually, this was a real challenger brand. So, like, you're ingrained from the very beginning.
I can't think any other way than a challenger way.
Yeah. It's close.
You know, can't I offer?
I think it's great.
But, you know, I think, yeah, it's a great story, but it's like you always got to remember where you come from, and we reinforce that to the team.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to ever forget as people join.
Yeah.
Swanking the officers.
No.
Where we started off was in someone else's back office
without
an office of our own, having to like work incredibly hard and hustle. And that mentality of like challenger hustle needs to be prevailing. That's what drives you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 100%. And Matthew McConaughey says this, and this is like quite a loose connection, but.
I hate the word hustle, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah, same. I know what you mean. I love the word hustle. I hate what the commercial word hustle has become. Not commercial word. The society has driven this kind of hustle mentality because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But I love the word hustle because if it's done in the right way, I know exactly what you mean. And Matthew McConaughey says exactly what you said in I think he was accepting an award one time, and they keep saying to him, like, who's your hero? And he he obviously says that I'm not gonna be able to, I'm paraphrasing. But he says, he's like, my hero is me in 5 years' time. And then when I get to 5 years' time, my hero is me in 5 years' time, because I'm never ever going to get to become that person. But then that's what always drives me, because I'm okay with never becoming that person, because that's always going to make me better. And I'm like, actually, you know what? That's class.
Right.
It's such a good way of looking at life, because definitely. Not just business, but life in general. Life, your life.
Definitely,
We're here on this planet. This is getting a bit weird, but we're here on this planet for like. One time, and it's fucking exciting, and you got to make the hell most of it,
you
right?
You got to embrace it. And I read this great quote to my team the other day, right? And it was something along the lines of, no person is a constant.
Yeah.
Your beliefs will change.
Yeah.
Your values will change. Your thinking will change. Your rationality in terms of how you approach things will change. Embrace the change.
Yeah.
And it's like, you won't be. And it's sort of in business as well. You can have a North Star and you can have a general guide, but you've got to roll with the river.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what ultimately 100%. It is. That's what life is, right?
It's chapters, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's chapters and different versions of, like, me now versus me 10 years ago. Completely different person.
Right.
I'm sure you're exactly the same.
Yeah, completely. I have way more energy now.
Although,
having said that, you are the one with the newborn baby.
Oh, so, mate, well,
congratulations.
You know,
have we revealed that on the podcast?
No, but there we go. It is now.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow, sorry.
No. Don't. You don't need to apologise at all. Olivia Turpin is now in the world. Yeah,
well, little girl.
Thanks, man. No, it's a pretty amazing thing. And it's weird, actually. I was just thinking, as you were talking about, like, kind of changes and different things, like, she's only been around for 4 weeks. And the difference to when she was born to now is mental.
Yeah.
And you're going, wow, okay, like, I can see how... When I sit around the table with my mum and she's like, oh, like, I remember when you were a child and you're like... I've never understood that kind of conversation until now, where I'm like, holy shit, like, this was me to her. Like, it's a weird... Like, the circle of life is amazing, but weird, right?
Yeah.
Although the one thing that I've loved the most out of it is I have done that kind of Lion King lift with a bit of ketchup on her head. Soph came in and she was like, the fuck are you doing?
Right, parenting 101.
I know, man.
This is going to turn into a parenting podcast, isn't
it? Yeah, that's it. I'm going to start wheeling her out every Tuesday when we have content sheets, because the engagement is going to be real, right?
Off the hook. It's either that or a dog.
That's it. It's the most demoralising thing. I honestly think my dog has had more likes than anything else we've ever posted.
Yeah.
And now Livy is coming in. She's now brand exec.
There we go.
Mate, that seems like a really good time to sort of start wrapping this up. Where can founders reach out to you personally and to Founders Makers? And
you can get in touch with us, founders-makers.com.
Yeah.
Or you can drop me a line, another, A-N-O-T-H-E-R,
yeah.
At founders-makers.com.
I've always loved that.
Do you know why?
No.
You know, so launched by myself, Cass Horowitz and Nick Horowitz.
Yeah.
Nick is older brother. So
that's
he
amazing.
Is older at.
Yeah.
Cass is the younger brother. So he is younger at. And I am another brother.
That's amazing.
That's where the email. After three of us, we were like, okay, no more.
Yeah. Another plus one.
We can't have like second cousin removed.
Yeah.
You know, it just becomes very confusing.
Well, you're going into America now, you just call everyone genius. Yeah.
Okay, exactly, right? So yeah, that's the way to
amazing, man. Well, look, thank you so much for coming on Untold. I really, really appreciate it. I think there's been some wicked learnings there, and I think like some real tangible takeaways. I'd love to kind of get you back on in the future, and we can have another chat, because there's so much that we haven't spoke about, from kind of creating Little Moons. I know you guys did some work on the Ready for Rishi campaign. Like, there's loads of stuff that we haven't spoken about that I'd love to, but just timing is. I mean, we always have like such fascinating guests on that, like, I could sit here and chat to you all day, but.
Yeah. But like people, like, you need to make it 20 minutes, otherwise they're gonna, you know, not listen to every episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we could chat all day.
It's really fucking hard.
It's whether they want to listen to. Yeah.
I think you're really fascinating. Yeah, I don't know if anyone else does.
Let's do a poll after this.
Yeah.
Like, fascinating. Thumbs up or thumbs down. If people
amazing,
get this
man.
Far.
Thank you so much for coming on Untold, and guys, thank you for listening. Those of you that do, we are Untold Podcast. If you love us, we're Untold Podcast. If you don't love us, we are Hungry Podcast, run by Dan Pope. Only joking, he listens to this and he's a good lad. Take care, guys. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll catch you next time. Ta-da! Thank you so much for giving us your time and listening. I really hope you've enjoyed. If you have enjoyed, please, please, please do download, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your friends' friends, tell your friends' mum's dog. It all really helps us grow the podcast, ultimately bring on more guests, which will be able to get us to give across more tangible takeaways. Thank you so much again. I'm Harry Turpin, your host, founder of The Savourists. We love you lots. Take care. Keep jingling.